When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is going to be a quick intro, I'm going to tell you right now.
We've got a thick, exciting episode for you.
I thought you were going to say thick, exciting guest, and I thought,
oh God,
my
can God, you imagine?
What kind of talk is this?
Not at all.
It is one of my all-time favorite people is with us.
She's like the best. We love anyone who loves us, or I do.
That might be true. Is that true? Could be.
I love anyone
who
loves me.
Is that the common thread?
Richard Lawson's going to be here. Honestly, one of the premier American writers and critics that we've got.
True. For culture, I hate to tell you.
For sure.
And a real, true movie and entertainment lover. No question about it.
And also, I don't know if he's tried it, but I can tell you if he did, he'd give it a good review. The AskRonnaCoffee.com.
Oh, why Shades didn't we of ask him?
Care. I bet he's tried it. And I bet he gets
has.
It.
He has. I sent him the coffee. It was a whole fiasco when I sent it to him the first time because it kept not getting there. And then he finally got it. That was he was one of the first people I sent the coffee to.
Well, and speaking of fiasco, Rana, how about Negronas? Negrana.com. Honey.
There you go.
We've got Connor on the case at Fiasco Wine and Spirits, I think it's called, in Brooklyn. I'd rather be looking at it, looking for it. You could ask the premier DC gays, and they'll tell you they drink it at their poker
so
nights.
So true. And I want to do, we have not been telling people, five stars only.
Only.
We need people. We need them to rate, subscribe, and review.
It helps the show so much.
I love it when they review, but if you're going to be that lazy, just five stars.
Shoot us a couple of kiss marks if you want to review it. We don't care.
We have a couple of comments here.
We do.
And then a few quick follow-ups. And then we absolutely got to get to Richard this minute.
The number one Jinja says five stars only. Love this podcast. Thank you for all the amazing work you both do. Michelle in Houston says, what are you waiting for? Ronner and Brian all do, in parentheses, which I like, respect, are intelligent, compassionate, and best of all, hilarious. Phenomenal in advice, sophisticated reviews, etiquette reminders.
Excuse me.
Hot tips and much, much more. I ran to the carriage house as fast as I could. Of course I did. What am I, an idiot? Five stars only. Shaner's B, best podcast. I look forward to the show every week. I love it. Kiss, kiss. Come on, everybody.
What about that? Huh? That review says it all right there.
It
best podcast.
Certainly does, as the one and only Groucho Marx would say.
Now, I have two very quick updates I want to give people.
Let's do it.
And then we're getting right to our guest.
Yeah,
here.
We've got to.
Mr. Mark, who writes to us about, Lady Brian and Mrs. Glickman and Lady Brian.
Yes, he's always on the move.
He made a move right up to Cynthia Dupree Sweeney's book signing and book event in the Bay Area. And he even sent us a fabulous picture of her.
He did.
And she wrote to me before he even sent this in and said, one of your fans was there making eyes at me, smiling through the whole thing.
Wow.
And then he wrote in and sent a picture and it was absolutely fabulous. So we have to thank Mark for supporting Cynthia and for everyone else who has been out to see her book events, buy a copy of Good Company. It's out in paperback.
Do you
now,
think Cynthia
you
could
will
be a
not regret it?
No, absolutely not. Good Company out now.
Terrific
and that
read.
Gorgeous cover and the beautiful writing. Do you think that Cynthia would have any time in her schedules to be a consultant on Mrs. Glickman and Lady Brian?
You know what? We'll have to see. I mean, I know she's probably got another book she has to write, but we'll see.
When are they just going to relax, these writers?
Now, this is something I'm just going to read because it's helpful, but not because I care. Okay?
Okay.
Dear Ronna and Brian, I hope you both well. Let me quickly share how much this pod means to me. The two of you are like fairy godmothers. Then they crossed that out and wrote god cousins.
Okay.
You know, the cool cousins that are there to guide you, encourage you, and razz you from time to time. I do like the word razz.
Razz is good.
But I was also I would also like to respond regarding letter writer Jennifer's question regarding questions that she has with how she moves forward in life. Now, this was the girl that was living overseas, working with her boyfriend. Everything all rolled into one, and thought her only choices, she thought, in life were to move home to her parents' basement.
Yep.
Or to stay with this guy.
And was this the one that you said, have the best time of your life walking around Europe? That was somebody else.
I can't remember if this was her or not. I think we said to her, stop thinking. I think we told her they needed to take a break from each other.
Yeah, I think I remember that.
And that there was nothing to feel so desperate about, because she was worried. She felt insecure because she didn't have a college education, but she had all this experience doing this startup with her boyfriend, which is real world experience.
And how impressive if you were to move back to the States to be like, oh, I've been working in Europe. I mean, who doesn't want that?
Yeah. I thought your advice was spot on. As Jennifer expressed that going back to the U.S. may not make sense for her career, I wanted to offer some practical advice regarding how she might decouple her career from her partner and also continue her professional development.
Okay.
First, the job market in Europe is very, in all caps, competitive from a hiring point of view. That means with the right experience, it will be extremely easy for Jennifer to find a job. And as she pointed out, nobody in Europe cares about your college education. They just want experience. There are about 1 million startups in expat-friendly countries like the Netherlands, Germany, and Portugal, many of which are remote. And that makes sense, too, because they want people that are English speakers, et cetera, et cetera.
Sure.
Regarding visas, it's extremely easy for Americans to get work visas in Europe as long as they find a company willing to sponsor. The thing that holds companies back might be moving costs, but if she's already there, then this wouldn't be a deal breaker. I also checked with a friend who has a startup of her own supporting expats relocating to Germany specifically.
Wow.
And she let me know that even without a college degree, you can easily get a work visa in many countries in the EU. I also work in Europe, having moved here to work at a startup. I've now gone through the hiring process twice and also have lots of contacts in HR. That's right. I'm one of those. Uh-oh. HR.
Okay.
I would be happy for you to share my contact info if it makes sense with Jennifer, and to meet virtually if she wants some advice, tips on preparing her resume and selling herself, if that's something she would be interested in.
Oh, my gosh.
I hope this is helpful. I can't even believe
it. I'm jealous of Jennifer now. I wish I had a job to go over there for.
Totally. This talk about a fairy godmother.
No kidding.
I hope this is helpful. I left the U.S. 10 years ago, and I know that living in another country can be extremely isolating, especially when everything revolves around your partner. Mm. I've learned with time how to build my own life and would be happy to make that journey a bit easier for the next gal. What a person this
Wow-wee.
Is.
Wow-wee.
Thanks again for a great 2 years of advice. Kiss, kiss, Melissa in Munich.
Melissa, you're wonderful.
Terrific. Now that's a CHIP.
It certainly is. And I know she's not German, but that's a German attitude. Get it done.
That is the carriage house for you right there. That is chips helping chips.
What a gorgeous group of people. I have to say, $5 gets you into that carriage house. $10 lets you see. Yeah, you're no kidding. No kidding.
But that is really how magnanimous and wonderful.
Wonderful.
We haven't had an update from Jennifer yet. I hope she gets in touch when she hears this. We'd love to put her in touch with Melissa.
Yeah.
All right, dear. We have an incredible guest today. We better get to it this minute.
He's wonderful. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go see him, Ronna. Let's take it. Let's take a little peek.
Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go, Ronna. Let's go. Fortune favors the bold, the strong, the brave.
Mm.
Did you know that, Ronna?
I've heard all of those things.
For your business to break out of anything holding you back, you need business checking as brave as you are. Introducing Novo Business Checking.
Oh.
Fabulous. Novo is powerfully simple business checking. And unlike a traditional banking model, Ronna, which I know you're a very traditional person, but you know, I'm the one kind of bringing you into the 21st century.
Absolutely. No question. You're my disruptor.
Nova has no minimum balances, no transaction limits, and no hidden fees.
I like all of that.
Instead of a one-size-fits-all approach, Nova is customized to your business to save you time and free up cash flow with seamless integrations to Stripe, Shopify, which we love.
We do love Shopify.
QuickBooks Online, and more. Sign up for Nova for free and join the community of over 150,000 fearless small businesses who have found the customizable business checking solution that admires their bravery and their brave.
Wow.
Yeah, Rana.
I mean, that's a lot of, I got to say, that's a lot of businesses that are using Nova.
It's a ton of businesses. And also, it's nice to know that there's a banking platform that is supportive of small businesses.
Absolutely. Oh, not that our business is small.
Oh, no. No, absolutely not. We're,
I mean, is our business too big for this?
I think they're going to break it up, Rana. I think they're going to break us up like a monopoly. Yeah.
In the meantime,
sign up for your free business checking account right now at novo.co/AskRana. Plus, Ask Rana listeners get access to over $5,000 in perks and discounts.
Wow, that's N-O-V-O dot C-O. So novo.co, not .com.
Correct.
Slash Ask Rana to sign up for free.
novo.co/AskRana. Nova Platform Inc. is a fintech, not a bank. Banking services provided by Middlesex Federal Savings, F.A., member FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Ah, did you hear that?
I love that sound, Ron.
I absolutely love that sound. That is the new Shopify cha-ching. Pardon me.
Love it.
Every time I hear that sound, I get so excited because not only do I know that I'm supporting entrepreneurs and all the fabulous small businesses that use Shopify.
Totally.
I know that I'm going to be communicated with in such a way that makes me so happy to be a customer.
Yeah.
That is truly what I love about Shopify.
No kidding.
They keep track of it every step of the way.
Rana, and we're familiar with Shopify even beyond that.
Pardon me.
Yeah.
We use Shopify for our coffee.
We certainly do.
So our customers absolutely know what it means to get a perfect customer service experience in terms of here's the minute you bought it. Here's the minute the package went out. Here's where it is, et cetera, et cetera. It's all there and it's so easy. Transactions are so much easier from the consumer side when you're buying something on Shop. I mean, I breathe a sigh of relief when I know I'm buying something on Shop because all my information's already in there.
It's so easy. Just a one-click pony.
Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big business. Okay, so upstarts, startups, established businesses, whatever, can sell everything from everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed. That's why, as an entrepreneur myself, Brian.
Sure, yes, you are, Rana.
I know you can relate because you're also an entrepreneur.
Well, I'm also one, so yeah.
I can't recommend Shopify enough for your business. If you're thinking about getting your business online, getting everything organized, giving your customers an incredible start to finish customer service experience, seamless, I'm telling you, Shopify is 100% the service for you. Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses, pardon me. I wish I had stock in that company.
Come on.
From first sale to full scale, as they like to say.
Cute.
And they do all kinds of integrations with apps, so you can shop through Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, you name it.
All the hits.
They give you all the insights. I'm on Shopify every minute checking out the coffee sales. I can see who bought. I can see where my favorite thing is. You can see where in the country, who's visiting your store. Oh, somebody in South Dakota is thinking about buying the coffee.
Amazing.
So go to Shopify.com/AskRana. That's all lowercase for a free 14-day trial.
Come
and get
on, people.
Full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. For instance, let's say Showstopper Cookies was looking to get on Shopify.
Ah,
this would
faves.
Be the moment.
Yep.
Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to Shopify.com/AskRana right now. Attention Carriage House members, Rana here to tell you all about Anchor.fm. Anchor is the fabulous app that we use to create our podcast. And let me tell you something, you can use it to create a podcast of your own. It's totally free. They have these terrific creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer, if you're that sort of person. I have a staff, excuse me. And now you can even add any song from Spotify directly to your episodes, which is pretty fabulous. The possibilities are totally endless. So download the free Anchor app now or go to anchor.fm to get started today. Kiss, kiss.
Now, wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
This person. I love this guy so much.
Are you kidding?
Much.
Well, you want to know why, Rana? Because he's absolutely a snob. But
you're right. That is why I like him.
Totally.
He's high low. He's a snob, but he's high
That's,
low.
And by the way, he takes the low and brings it high. Exactly.
He likes what he likes. You put it in front of him, he'll tell you whether it's good or it isn't. But yeah. If it isn't, he's going to let you know.
This guy's the chief critic at Vanity Fair for movies.
But he's also sort of like the chief hamburger eater in Brooklyn. You know what I mean? He's sort
of.
He's
high low.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to say anything about his taste. I just mean, he'll go have a hot dog in Central Park. That's not a problem for him.
Oh, he's a real New Yorker, except he's from Boston like you.
Yeah. Well, that's who's really a real New Yorker? You know what I mean?
I know.
The truth is real New Yorkers are provincial. And people that come from outside of New York and move to New York are taking advantage of what's going on
exactly.
in the city.
But that's Richard is not a hustle bustle New Yorker. He doesn't wear a bustle. And he's not, and what I mean is like, he also isn't going out there going to other cities and saying like, razzmatazz, I need it now. He's a polite person.
I used to wear a bustle, but I had to give them all to Christine Baranski for the Gilded Age.
You know what? She's wearing them beautifully.
And she has not given them back.
And so. I have to say, are the
let's
lines-
Let's do it then. Let's talk let's about the Gilded Age.
Well, this is what I want to say to Richard Lawson right now. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Did Lady Grantham, was that Maggie Smith's name in Downton Abbey? Whatever her name was. Okay. She got way better lines than Christine Baranski gets. Christine Baranski doesn't get killer disses, but she's such a good actress that she's
pulling it off. But she's humorless in this.
She is, but Ron, it's serious business. It's all very serious business.
Yes, but I'm sure Lady Grantham thought the same, the Dowager Countess. One of her greatest lines ever was when they were trying to figure out what they were going to do with the oldest daughter, and the mother said, the American mother, said, well, we could always marry her off to an Italian count. And the grandmother said, I don't think things are that desperate.
My favorite thing she ever said was when someone said, I think the staff is planning on doing that over the weekend. And she goes, what is a weekend?
Yeah, Baranski doesn't get any of that stuff.
She and doesn't I think get good not. Lines. She's doing a great job as always, but she doesn't get good lines.
My guess is that Julian Fellowes was like, I don't know if I can do that for an American lady. But it's like, just write the same lines and just have her say it in an American accent.
Well,
it doesn't
I feel like there's a lot of that in this show. I have to be honest. I think his snobbery is coming
like
through, which is that he agreed to do this. And this, of course, this is the natural, you know, where's the next place I can make money? You know, I watched the pilot. I watched the first half of the pilot by myself.
Well, the pilot's 3.5 hours.
I couldn't get through it.
Yeah.
Then Mr. Cleveland said, people are saying we should see it. I said, look, if you want, I'll rewatch this pilot with you, but only because I'm going to, you know, shop at Net-a-Porter or whatever while it's happening. I'm not really going to pay attention.
Yeah.
And he said, this guy is a terrible writer. And I said, well, he's not really a writer. He's a world builder. That's what Julian Fellowes
is. You know what,
is.
Though, Ronna? That's just as important.
Well, he's good at that.
Yeah. Well, I didn't say it wasn't. But my point is that I think his snobbery is coming through, which is that he may not even know he's doing it. He's holding back 10%.
He doesn't want the show to be as good.
He doesn't want the American show to be as good as the British show. And he's holding back 10%, and he doesn't even know he's doing it. It's just this built-in British Empire something where he can't give them the good stuff. There's something in him that won't allow himself to give them the good stuff.
And even with the old money people, the Van Ryans, you know, Christine Baranski, he's kind of like, oh, they think they're people. you know, there's this kind of like.
Right, they think they're old money. Isn't that cute?
Right. Isn't that adorable? They were farmers 150 years ago and now they're this. For sure.
Yeah. How blue does that blood run?
He sort of did this to Elizabeth Montgomery on that other show.
Oh, yeah.
She never got any of the good lines either because she was American.
At least he imported the scheming, mischievous, devious gay guy role.
I have to tell you, he has honestly made that not passe and made it fresh again, the evil gay. He really takes evil gay characters, especially foppish ones.
Who's the evil gay
ones
in this one? Because I'm only one episode in.
Well, Amy Van Ryan's son. Christine Baranski's son.
Oh, he's a cartoon.
John Adams, like descendant, like whose also name is John Adams, is another evil gay in this.
Call him
I
Mr.
love
Adams.
An evil gay. I think it's so fresh. I really do. I'm glad we got back dirty there so quickly.
In their little dirty little Greenwich Village stomping ground or wherever
is now a $20 million home.
Absolutely. All of them. Absolutely.
But that guy, I had to look up that actor because I thought, where did they get him? And the answer is
he's kind of Adrian Brody-ish.
Da Vinci's Demons or something. He looks like a magician.
He does.
But the other thing, I was saying this to Brian a moment ago, I can't get over, for such an incredible writer, I can't get over the fact that at the end of the pilot, she even says, why do they put the words in her mouth? Oh, this is one of those parties where people don't have to RSVP. So we'll never know how many people are coming. But if we make for 200, that should be enough. But I'm nervous. I don't know if anyone's going to come because I can't get an RSVP. Surprise, surprise, no one comes. Why didn't they just have everybody accept the invitation and then not come? And then have
Richard,
somebody say,
you're in New York.
Say somebody, I hope you're not going. And then do dominoes. None of them come. And that would have been something to be upset about.
And Richard, what is your opinion on all things cultural in the 19th century in New York?
Well, I was kind of old by then. So I wasn't really paying much attention to like what the young new money people were doing.
I
agree that it would have been a little more tension to have her expect a set number of people and then they just blow her off.
This is all I want to say. Carte blanche, roll over me like a bulldozer. All I need to see is Bernie Telsey's name on the end of credits. And I'm like, you know what? I'm in for Deborah Monk. I'm in for Kelly O'Hara. I'm in for any Bernie Telsey special you want to give me of these theater actors. I have to tell you, I love The Gilded Age. I don't think it's good, but I love it.
He's got Alice Ripley scrubbing floors in the background.
It's also misusing a lot of these people. Yeah, Celia Balder, whatever her name is.
Right.
One line in episode. I mean, what about the scheming maid? And that was the other thing. They don't even have the terrific butler, basically, character to say, okay, Miss So-and-so, mind your P's and Q's. You know, everyone just sort of, why don't they just say, well, then why do you want this job? Well, she as a lady's maid, I know. You know, they're not even extending. I mean, maybe it gets better. I don't know.
Richard, I need you to tell me all about one thing in particular, and then two things.
Yeah, the first thing we've got to do with the show really.
But I want to ask him. He just reviewed Morbius. I don't even barely know what that is. I didn't know that was a character,
well,
and I want to know what you thought of it.
Richard requested to not talk about movies when it came on air,
which
is why I started talking about TV. Richard and Kate Arthur don't know, but they're living parallel lives. They both said, I want to come on the show, but I don't want to come on to talk about movies.
Well,
I want to do the show.
Are you still taking horseback riding, Richard?
The price of admission is that you got to do what you do. Okay. You got to do what you do, and then you get to do the show. Then you get to go on the Rana ride after that.
No, that's fine. We don't have to talk about movies. But
I
want to
know about Morbius.
I'm just curious.
I heard he had to push around in a wheelchair, and everybody's mad.
Oh, you liked it. You liked it.
I think the only positive review of that movie, because I thought it was kind of, if you squint a little, it's like, kind of a gothic gay prep school movie where it's Jared Leto and Matt Smith, like our old childhood friends from a Greek kind of convalescent home for children.
That's fun.
And now they're adults and one turns into a vampire and then the other wants to turn into a vampire. And there's like a little Christopher Rice, a little Anne Rice. So I zeroed on that. I don't care about like whether it fits into comic book lore.
Oh,
at all.
No.
Well, I've
okay,
got
well, good.
A
That's
very
a good
serious gay gothic romance coming for you. Speaking of Anne and Christopher Rice. So hold on to your hat. That's coming in October.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
which is Interview with the Vampire, that they've which they're redoing for AMC.
I know a writer on that.
I happen to know inside.
It's based a little bit on Jordan too, right?
Michael Jordan?
Your son, Jordan Ronan.
Jordana Brewster?
Yes. Sure. Yes, it's my son was a vampire in 1843.
That's not
Get
the part.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out
That's not
of
the
here.
Part that it's based on. Okay.
In any event, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Now, I want to know. I tell you, I watched the first episode of We Crashed. I haven't gone back yet. Doesn't mean I'm not going to. I just haven't gone back yet because everyone's bothering me to watch Gilded Age, this, that, and I only have so much time. So, and also Apple's doing the give them to you one at a time thing. So I have to go back for that.
Isn't
now.
That funny? Morbius, it sounds almost exactly like FLOTUS, like the first lady.
First lady of the United States. But I didn't think Jared Leto was a good actor. And now I think he might be.
We have this conversation every week, Rana.
He's really good on We Crashed, I think.
I believe it. As I say
is he good
every
in Morbius?
Week.
That's what I want to know.
Good question. Because well, I have to say, buy him immediately as the guy in We Crashed. I think that's a perfect role for him.
He's incredible in We Crashed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a weird huckster kind of showboat guy. And that's exactly who he's playing and vice versa. You know, it's a perfect match. And Anne Hathaway's great. But in Morbius, weirdly, even though he's playing a vampire, he's not doing an accent. He's just like kind of a normal person, which is
weird.
Almost more alarming.
Totally.
Any of his crazy voices.
Have you ever
stuff.
Interviewed him personally or spent any time around him personally?
You know, I never have, but I hear that he is very chatty. Like he'll just kind of accost people and like tell them the whole plot of a movie he's filming, you know, which is kind of, I think, weirdly endearing. But a lot of his other antics we've heard about are less endearing. So
I wanted to know what his energy was like when you're around him, his energy.
I've heard he's gregarious and not unexpectedly so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you, are you still doing the, and just like that tours across the city?
Well, those were shut down by the health department.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, so because too many old women were breaking their ankles wearing platform sandals.
Well, so we were doing a thing where toward the end of the tour, actually, I think it was the last stop on the tour. It's been a while, but we would go to an empty comedy theater and everyone could go up on stage to perform their own comedy concert.
Their concert? Oh,
yeah.
Wonderful.
But then a couple ladies were falling down off the stage.
Shay and Miranda's wedding.
Yeah, we had the orchestra pit open.
That'll be
which
my
was our first
stop. Yeah.
They should just do karaoke. Yeah, you don't have to do a whole comedy.
Oh, how funny, Ronna. So much karaoke.
Now, wait a minute. You're on to something.
How is that
how
not
come
a joke?
Someone
on that
hasn't
show?
Opened a bar in New York called karaoke.
They should.
Yeah. You too better
And
get
you
on
get
that
up and you get to sing. Ba,
the
ba,
only
ba,
thing
da,
I learned
ba,
from.
Ba,
the only. The only thing I learned from In Just Like That is you cannot live in New York if you're old because they make you still wear high heels and you couldn't possibly walk around the city like that.
And if you're not comfortable wearing any kind of clothing, put them in wedges. That's
Why
the other rule of New York
Why did they
city.
Do the hip replacement
and send
story
them to Midtown.
Line?
That's right.
Why did they do the hip replacement storyline? It makes no sense to me whatsoever. And then they just cut to 4 months. I mean, it makes no...
Her the time
big
jumps.
Died, and then her hip died, and then we were on to something else. I don't
The time jumps
know.
Were crazy. But now that we have a renewed second season confirmed, I really hope they
can
just kind of calm down with that, go a little more week
to
week, have more themed episodes. We don't have to deal with grief. That is my hope is that this was just a really awkward long
if
runway.
If this next season order doesn't have a back 100, I'm going to be super fucking pissed.
I only want to see 100 episodes.
I need at least 100 episodes. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I need at least.
So even Emily's not Emily anymore because I have to deal with Camille. All right. Listen, we've got to move on now. We've got to do what the show is.
I'm so excited Richard's here.
Did Richard write about the slap or he didn't write about the slap? I know.
He did. He wrote a whole piece about what let down the Oscars were.
I reviewed the broadcast and I had mostly finished the review and was just going to put a couple little things at the end about who won Best Picture. And then that happened. And I was like, oh shit. And I had to go back into the Google Doc. And, like,
how brutal is this line, Ronna? How brutal is this line that he wrote?
I can't believe I didn't read it, Richard. I'm so embarrassed. I apologize. I'm all over Richard's article. So I don't know how I missed this, but I think I just couldn't deal with it. Go on.
If the argument was that a trimmed down show is a better show, then a better show they would have to present. So good, Richard.
And they did not.
I could just bathe in that line all day and night.
Oof. But, you know, in a weird way for the Academy, in some senses, but certainly ABC, that slap was the best thing that ever happened. How? When is the last time you heard people talk about the Oscars this much? Like, oh, and I know it's in a bad way, but like, I don't know. I think that.
So
getting
what
that,
happens to Will Smith now, Richard?
Well, we're kind of waiting to hear.
I can't stop thinking about it, and I know we're supposed to, but I can't stop.
Well, because he left the Academy. The Academy is still investigating whatever that means, what happened. I don't think they're going to take his award away from him. They haven't taken Roman Polanski's. They haven't taken other Harvey Weinstein's, you know.
No, of course. They're practically the Hollywood foreign press. Why would they take anything?
Right.
What did you think about that joke they cut from Amy Schumer?
What was that?
There was a joke she wanted to say.
She made a Joe Rogan joke or something?
No. She goes... Her joke was, don't look up is the name of a movie. More like, don't look down the barrel of Alec Baldwin's shotgun.
Yeah.
It's not good. Not
Someone
good.
Someone did die. Like,
I agree. I think it's
I thought
good
her don't look up joke was that she used was better about the
so
critics
So funny
yeah.
about the reviews.
What was the joke again? It was funny. I can't remember what it was.
She was like, don't look up the reviews or something like that. It was pretty simple. But exactly. Like, and then they cut to Adam McKay and he was like, ooh, as if he hadn't had a whole Twitter freak out with David Sirota about the reviews of that movie, calling people who didn't like it, like myself, pro-climate change, which is insane.
Jesus.
Yeah, but I'm asking you, forget about the Academy and the repercussions. Yeah. What happens to the star, Will Smith?
Well, that's a big question. I was listening to your episode with Kate Arthur, and you know, she had some interesting ideas about that. But I think that the next couple projects he has in place, Emancipation, and there was a Netflix thing that already fell through. I think he's going to have to kind of lick his wounds, do the Oprah interview, lay low for a while, and then in a few years' time, because
Emancipation they put on hold, right? Like they're shelving it for now, is what I saw.
Yes, I think that's right. And I think he'll just have to wait because like institutional memory for this kind of thing is not that long. I think it will be longer for him because of matters pertaining to race and other things. But like, I trust that like he will be back.
I also think it's because he told us he was the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
If Mickey Rourke had done this, people would say,
or Sean Penn. Yeah.
Sean Penn is the first thing I thought of. I was like, if that had happened, we would have been like, oh, well,
Sean Penn gets by everything unscathed. Nothing matters.
He's working again.
And again, I think those are issues of race, too. I think you're right, Richard. I think that this will be a different thing.
But I mean, certainly that is an issue. But I think this is an image issue. Which is that Will Smith sold himself as the nicest guy in the world, always smiling, always helping, you know.
Yeah.
And that was his narrative, meaning those people, he and his wife, have sold themselves and their narrative to the world for such a long time. No one asked them to say, we're the nicest people in the world. Here's how it goes. Da, 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 da. And so that, I think, is the thing people are having the hardest time with, which is, of course, we all know that to some degree, it's a persona or you make a choice or that people are different in public than they are in private, meaning what you allow the world to see of yourself if you're an incredibly famous person. But I think that's the thing I'm having trouble getting past, which is this idea of who we thought you were and this other thing that he couldn't. And Fran Lebowitz said something very interesting, which was, you can't imagine it's so hard in a way to do what he did because everyone knows they're on TV. Everyone knows the world is watching them. Everyone, you know, you think watching at home, like, oh, this guy just snapped. But everyone sitting there knows there's 14 cameras traced on them, that there's publicists is there, da, 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 da. It really took for him to snap to do something like that. Because there's so many barriers to doing something like that.
It's really interesting to think about how this started. You know, the film premiered at King Richard premiered at Telluride. He wasn't there. There was some speculation about why that was, but it would have been a big kind of kicking off the campaign moment. But then he kicked it off closer to the
what
film.
What was the speculation?
Well, there was a thing about like whether he was vaccinated or not. He clearly is if he was at the Oscars, but like,
I don't know if he clearly is if he was at
well,
the Oscars.
Well, I don't know.
I have heard of a few people that you would think are vaccinated that are not, and they had to change the whole protocol around them and test for them and do it that way instead of the other way. But anyway, go on.
Yeah, I mean, I'll off air, I can tell you about one actor I know for sure, and it has skirted those rules. But then he began the campaign when the movie was coming out on HBO Max and in limited theaters. And it started with such a weird, like all of his interviews were strange. The memoir was coming out and there were all those passages from Smith's memoir that were like, you know, we're kind of somewhat taken out of context, but it just, the whole campaign for his inevitable win for best actor, which he won at Telluride. I mean, there was no question about whether he was going to win months before the Oscars. And then he went radio silent for a while. And then this happened. And it was just like, it kind of, in a weird way, felt fitting for what has been a really bizarre half a year plus for
him. He also had some sort of a facelift or something in the middle of the year. I mean, I'm just, I know I'm not commenting on, oh, his appearance, this, that. He looked different. I don't remember where it was that he showed up about 4 months ago and everyone said, that's Will Smith. It was when he went on that weight loss thing and he either had a facelift or he had something, or he had his wrinkles removed. He just, his face was not his face. And then now it's a little bit closer to where it was.
Barbara Corcoran got a facelift, she said.
Good for her.
Yeah.
They went together, I think, Will and Barbara.
Okay, let's get, this is the Kate Atha all over again. Let's get to the show.
It is. Okay, Rana, would you like to read the first question?
Thank you for indulging me, Richard. I can't resist.
What about me, Rana?
Beautiful brain. Yeah, I get your beautiful brain every week.
Thank you.
But I should thank you for indulging me. But I do appreciate it, and I can't resist. Richard's another one I could talk to forever.
Oh, me easily. He's like,
have a drink in a hotel bar with Rich from now till the end of time.
You want to know why, Rana? Because he's a you, but he's also a me.
Sure.
Well, see you both at the Marriott Marquis.
Great.
Just let me know.
He's the Venn in our diagram.
You'll see Brian at the Marriott Marquis.
You certainly will. We'll go up to the Pierre to meet.
I'll see you at the Carlisle. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Brian, right. you know we're going to do a night at the Carlisle. Did you
well,
know
we are do, we're to promote the television series.
I have a funny Carlisle story really quickly. I was at the O&M, the theater publicist, their very fancy post Tony's party 1 year. And this was the year that Glenn Close came back and did Sunset Boulevard. And my friend and I, there was like a upstairs party. You had to take an elevator up. And that was sort of more like the kind of exclusive, whatever. I don't know how we got in. But anyway, we were sitting on a bench having a lovely conversation.
I know how you got in.
And the head of this company.
They need people like you.
The head of this company.
You're the only person they need at the party.
Well, maybe that's true. He walked up to us and said, move, Glenn Close needs to sit here. And we were like, what? And we looked up and then she was already sitting down as we were.
Wow.
And that is my most stringent memory of the Carlisle.
Move, yeah. Glenn
That's a
Close
good
needs
Carlisle memory.
Here.
And she just kind of,
You were like a cat on a seat that they brushed off.
Exactly.
There was a cat on a chair and they skidded you right
also,
off
Also, I love Glenn Close in another part of the room being like, I need to sit there.
Yeah. Those two nobodies, raise them.
I need to sit in a. I need to sit in a position of advantage for my face.
And this seat needs to have been
warmed. Right there. Mm-hmm. Yep. Fabulous. All right, dear. As you know, as a longtime listener of the show.
Yes.
People write in the desperate.
Yeah.
They don't have anywhere to turn. And as I've said recently, and I'm going to say it again, stop sending me your, do I use paper bags or plastic bags at the grocery store?
Right,
questions.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
You write to us when you have something that you are on the precipice about. As Brian so astutely mentioned, it could be somebody, your uncle's putting wine in your dog's dog dish. It could be that you don't know whether to get married. Or you could or to leave a relationship. Whatever it is.
Do you stay in a place where someone has freshly died?
But stop sending us the paper or plastic questions because I'm not going to answer them.
Right. The answer
and
is
also
always
stop
plastic.
Saying, I'll try to keep it brief when it's not true. Okay? No. But do send us new questions, fresh questions to askron@gmail.com.
And don't get by on a technicality because maybe you're wearing briefs and so then you think we won't notice if you say I'm keeping it brief because we don't know the slang.
Good point. Excellent point. So they've written in. They're desperate. These are real questions from real listeners.
Yeah.
And we're going to give our
and
best
not
advice.
R-E-E-L real, Richard.
No, not in not real
not
like
film
your
real.
Business.
Yeah. Right. Like Reels, the popular streaming channel.
Exactly.
Rana, Rana Bryan and distinguished
wonderful.
Guest.
She made a
you know
choice.
What, Brian?
No, I'm glad. No, I want you to read it. I'm glad you made the choice too.
I changed my mind. I don't want
to
read it.
I don't know which one to read first. Which one were you going to read?
The first one. Read the first one first.
Okay, you got it. Ready? I said ready.
Ready.
Okay.
Hit it.
Dearest Rana, Brian, and distinguished guests, certainly. I wrote in toward the beginning of the pandemic in 2020 asking for advice on how to handle an awkward work encounter with my boss. I'd accidentally texted him expressing my desire to, in Rana's words, I think.
I thought this was a continuation. Oh, yeah. Rana. Oh, yeah.
get this though. I don't remember this, and you are filthy, Rana. I'd accidentally texted him expressing my desire to, in Rana's words, receive his hot, salty load on my chest.
Rana, like nachos or something?
Exactly. Exactly.
It wasn't really directed at the boss. It was directed at someone else, and the boss received the text.
Exactly.
By accident. It was very embarrassing.
Fortunately, the situation was dealt with, and I'm still working at the same company as a laboratory manager. To the point, I grew up in Houston, Texas, the second oldest of four kids to deeply devout Catholic parents. I have an older sister who's married with five children. They're very conservative and deeply devout Catholics. I have a younger brother who is married, and I have a younger sister who is married with two kids. I was an altar server for years, had my confirmation, and attended had my confirmation and attended 7 years of all-boys Catholic school. It took me years to come out to my family as a gay man. Possibly even more difficult was telling my family that I was no longer Catholic, that I believe you, that I was no longer Catholic and was stepping away from the church. That was now 10 years ago, and for the most part, we've come to an understanding, and I thought we were all in a good place. My siblings live scattered across the country with their respective spouses and families, so it rarely happens that we all get together as a family now. This past January, my parents thought it was time to have a family reunion and rented a beach house in Galveston.
What is that? What? Give me
the
Yeah,
they had a horrible hurricane that the nuns couldn't protect the children from. That was the first thing. That was like in 1919. But later, Galveston, which by the way, old timers call it Galveston, it's off of Houston. It's got the brownest ocean water that the eye could ever see.
Is it an island?
It's ugly.
It's an island.
Yeah.
It is an island. It's
a man-made island or a real island?
I don't know that. I don't know that. But it's off the coast of Houston.
So there is no East Coast equivalent. I mean, is it horrible?
Maybe, yeah. I would say that it was one of those places
that,
like,
it seems like it's the Cape Bridges.
It was one of those places that, like, in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, like, was
at a boardwalk.
You would take your parasol, you would go to Galveston.
Oh, it's Atlantic City.
It's Rehoboth Beach,
sort of like that. Sort of like that. Mm-hmm. No casinos, but it's charming. It does have its charms.
Okay.
Rented a beach house in Galveston. Don't get me started on the location and time of year. And it's also where Robert Durst chopped up one of the bodies, Galveston.
Yes. Okay. Now I know what, because I remember the footage from
that's
the
how they built the island. Yeah.
Off the body. I have been seeing and living with a wonderful man for the past 18 months, and things are going very well. I even asked my parents if he was invited on the trip. So we booked our flights and thought all was well. Right. When my older sister found out,
I just mean why.
I know what you mean.
Is that the trip?
Like,
you
that sounds
take
worse for you than for them.
Those are the days he should take off work to go to Galveston with your family.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
I do actually.
Can't we go to Hawaii instead or Disneyland if you're those people? I mean, I just mean anything. But anyway, go on.
When my older sister found out he would be joining us in Texas, she decided to back out of the trip because she wasn't ready to introduce her kids to me and my partner. Did I mention how Catholic they are?
Rotten.
She sounds awful. I then found out they rescheduled their trip to Texas to visit family, my parents and my younger sister, for a month after we had planned our reunion. My question is, how do I proceed forward? It's clear that she and her family don't want to admit to their kids that I'm gay and living with another gay man. It seems as if my parents are okay with that too. How do I go about family relationships now that I know they don't even accept me for who I am and will not let their kids know who I am really either? I want to be able to see my nieces and nephews, but not at the cost of losing my identity. Well, that really is giving them a lot of power over your identity. Any help would be great. Sincerely, Kevin and Devon. Kevin in Denver. P.S. Do you have any recommendations for a summer trip to P-Town, Mass? Where to stay? Where to eat? Where to go out? Thanks.
Richard, what order do you want to take this in?
Oh, wow.
It doesn't say anything about your personal life.
My question about the initial question I have is how close the writer is to the sister. You know, is
who's
like,
got a traffic jam? You, Richard?
It's got to
be that's
New York
me.
City.
I'm sorry. That's
a New
Brooklyn.
York City operation.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Go on.
I'm looking at sort of Atlantic Avenue. Like, so he said he wants to see the nieces and nephews, but maybe the sister is less of a factor there.
Right.
And I don't know how old these kids are because, you know, the mysterious, but then later in life, cool gay uncle is kind of a trope for a reason. You know, I think that was a lot of people's relationships with their gay uncles a long time ago is they didn't really know them as kids. And then when they were a little bit older, had more autonomy, they could seek them out. So part of me would say maybe write them a letter or maybe send a Christmas card with the photo of you, like the couple, and they could, they either throw it out or they put it out somewhere and the kids see it. I don't know. I feel like there's a way to communicate with the kids that's not through the sister.
Well, she's not like, saying you can't see your niece and nephew. She's saying, I don't want your niece and nephew to meet your boyfriend. Is that right?
Right. Yeah. I guess then why would your boyfriend want to meet her?
I agree with that. I have to be honest with you. I think you, and listen, it just gets to a point, or it did with me. My parents were so extremely religious. Richard's, I don't know if yours are or not, but.
No.
So mine are. And it just gets to a point where you're like, for me at least, where it's just sort of like, okay, don't I deserve to just stop trying? Can I just stop trying? I don't want to deal with this. And look, if my boyfriend wants
especially
to come.
Especially when you're the only one trying.
Exactly. It's just sort of like, I'm going to do what I want. If your sister cancels her trip, it sounds like she's an asshole. I do think that Richard is correct, that I think these parents are obviously doing a huge disservice to their children, who will probably grow up to be like, you guys are assholes. Mm-hmm. And if not, then they're assholes too, and it worked.
Or they're going to grow up being like, ho, ho.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, the situation is you either have to decide whether or not you value having a relationship now with the nieces and nephews, or the autonomy of yourself and your relationship, and you don't want to compromise that by sort of only half presenting yourself to your family. Quit. And if you choose the latter, you just have to wait for the nieces and nephews to get old enough that they have that they can.
I totally agree.
Own.
And I think when you said, when the letter writer said that they didn't want to compromise their identity, I understand that on one level, that means I don't want to pretend I'm not gay in front of people. The thing is, that shouldn't even be on the table. And I think that what I interpret that as with the compromising your identity is you are dancing as fast as you can. And I know this story to make everyone happy and comfortable with your sexuality. You are doing everything you can to make it seem like you are normal and okay in their eyes. Guess what? You already are. And I just would quit trying so hard. What are you getting out of this? What are you getting from these people? And also you don't know for a fact that your parents feel the way that you assumed they feel at the end, which is that they're not comfortable with your identity either. It just sounds like your sister was uncomfortable and they were like, we don't know what to do. And of course, the argument that always wins is, well, what's best for the kids, you know? But you don't really know that. All you know for sure is that your older sister, you could take a break from her and it'd be fine. That's what I think.
Your parents didn't ask you not to come.
Right. That's why I don't lump them into this. Yeah.
And they also didn't ask you not to bring your boyfriend. From what I'm reading here, mm-hmm. You can tell us. And you can write in and tell us if we've got it wrong. Your parents said, everyone's invited. And your sister said, we're not coming. Mm-hmm. And your parents did not then launch a phone call to you and say, look, it's a family reunion. I know this guy's important to you, but you've only been dating for 18 months. Would you mind not bringing him so that we can all be together? That's a different thing. Your parents didn't do that from what I'm reading.
Right.
And that is their way of saying, we accept you and we accept her. This is how she wants to think. It would be great if they didn't accept the way that she thinks. But they're super Catholic, so they don't.
That's familiar territory.
They have figured out how to feel about it for themselves, but they're not going to tell her how to feel about it. And they don't totally think she's wrong. That's just where they come from. I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just saying that is where they come from. But I think it's a pretty impressive thing that your parents did not say, just don't bring him.
Yeah.
Because that would have been the easiest thing to do. But the real question is, I really want to tread lightly on this. And I want you two to tell me if I'm out of line. Because I think that there are, what is the trip? Who's it for? Why are we doing it? What are these relationships? Meaning, wouldn't it have been easier? And I don't mean you have to choose the easy path. And you are absolutely entitled to be at that time in your life where you say, I'm not doing it and I'm not showing up if it's not the way I want it. And everyone has to accept me and let's just be done with this already, if that's what's happening. But you've been dating this guy for 18 months. You're not married to him or you don't. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're thinking about marrying him, whatever. You sort of knew it was going to be a problem for your sister. What made you want to bring him on this trip with your family? Was it that you really wanted to have this moment of, here it is, everybody, and we're going to walk on the beach and we're going to be together, and I want you all to see that you wanted to bring both parts of your life together, which I can completely understand? Or is there something where you're trying to force your sister? Your sister's never going to see eye to eye with you on this. So you have to decide, as these two were just saying, who you want a relationship with. Do you want a relationship with the nieces or the nephews? I'm not in any way saying that her behavior is okay. And I want you two to call me out on this if it needs to be called out. But I'm just wondering why this was the place where this all was going to play out.
I sort of feel like I would have, whether it's the place or not, I actually think a year and a half is a long time to be together. But I would
the
have
parents said, sure, bring him.
Totally. I just would have said, this is what I would not have gone to this. If I had told people I'm bringing someone and then they had said, well, you can't, I would have been like, well, then I'm not going either. It's just not happening. I'm not going to go. However, what I think you could do is still like introduce him to your parents, who I think are probably on board with it. Just do something without your sister. I probably, if someone told me you can't bring your boyfriend to this thing, to a thing that also wasn't costing anyone anything. You know what I mean? It's not like, oh, you have this plus one that's not reliable, that's not vetted. You know what I mean? It's just, it would have bummed me out. And it would have, for me, compromised something in my integrity to go after I had been told that. It would have for me.
Yeah. I think I switched my opinion now, even as I was just talking, which is that if your sister has a problem with it, it's her problem.
Right.
And in a way, your parents said the same thing, which is, we invited everybody. We're having a family reunion. You are our son. You are our family. We are saying that the person you've been dating for 18 months is welcome in our family. If any of the girls had a boyfriend for 18 months and they wanted to bring them, we would have said sure. So we're saying to you, sure. And if your sister has decided not to come, that is something she needs to figure out for herself.
Yeah, she's not pushing you away from the table. She's not coming to the table, you know? And so maybe the best long-term kind of thing is like to keep bringing your partner to your parents, and if they get along, and your sister will hear talking to the mom on the phone, like, oh, we had a great time with so-and-so, and, you know, and maybe eventually she'll come around. But I don't think it's your responsibility to change her mind. And unfortunately, that means that the kids, the nieces and nephews, are not going to be part of this part of your life for a while, but like, it's on her. It's not like, I don't really think there's anything he can do to
I don't
fix
either.
That, right?
And I think that also, I guess some sort of silver lining, but I wouldn't hold my breath, and I wouldn't want to hold my breath that the mother wasn't ready to do this. That doesn't mean she's not ever going to do it. For whatever reason, she said she's not ready. Now, listen, I wouldn't take that as a sign that your sister one day will be awesome. I wouldn't. But her kids will grow up. I mean, this is 2022. They're going to know. And also, like, honey, I just have such a problem with anyone who is still a devout Catholic taking any sort and giving money to that church, having any sense of moral authority. I think it's gross. But fine. She has this belief. She has whatever. I
think you should really be proud of your parents.
I do too.
I mean,
too.
I think that's getting lost in this.
I would do too. And also,
they didn't choose her over you in this situation. They actually chose you over her.
And not to mention, parents just weirdly are always in these precarious things where they don't want to get involved in this shit. They just don't want to get involved
also,
with your fight with
grown-ups.
Your sister. Exactly.
If she doesn't want to come, she doesn't have to. They don't have to make her.
But I think both of you make excellent points. And Richard, I think that's a great idea. So just sort of look, if your parents are okay with this guy and if they meet him, and by the way, they only get more and more okay the more they're around something like that, then it should just be like, well, we don't care. You really still care about this?
Right. And then the sister's going to feel like more and more of a jerk, you know, exactly. Like, oh, so I'm missing out on this event and this family thing and that because I'm being so stubborn because what is she raising these kids in the woods? They're going to be aware of gayness, like if they're not already, you know,
Course,
pretty soon. So right. Like, unless she's, you know, homeschooling them in some sort of compound somewhere, which it doesn't sound like she is.
With no phones, no access to anything. Yeah.
Like the tide of time is going to kind of carry her hopefully back toward the family. But she is the apostate in this situation. She's
also
the one who left, you know?
Yes. But also kids are the new bad boyfriends. Nieces and nephews are the new bad boyfriends. What do I mean by that?
We get a million letters from people. My friend is marrying someone I don't like. What do I do? And the answer is you get over it. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing with nieces and nephews. You can't control your relationship with them. They belong to their parents. And as they get older and they make decisions for themselves, you can choose to be a part of their lives if they also choose to be a part of your life. And you can be consistent and you can send gifts and you can send cards and you can let them know, I am this loving presence out here if you're ever wondering about me. Or I'll see you at grandma and grandpa's house or whatever it is. But they're her children. And so they're going to have to live under her rules until they don't.
And also there is an expectation that
these are disappointments in life.
When your parents come around to who you are and accept who you are. I think sometimes as a child, there's an expectation of not only are they going to come around to who you are, but they are going to be on the next float that drives through town cheering for gay rights. And it just doesn't really happen that way. I guess for some people it could, but it just doesn't really happen that way. They are only starting with this thing and they don't probably even have the language to know what to say to your sister or whatever. And it really, so you really shouldn't take that part out on them. This is your sister. It seems like.
And also consider your partner's level of comfort. Like, does he really want to go to a situation that's this fraught? Like maybe, like you said, Rana, like time is better spent together traveling elsewhere. And maybe for a while you have to kind of compartmentalize those things. It doesn't sound like the writer is that like intensely close with the family. He lives in Denver. He's not in Texas, you know? But
what if we just went on vacation instead of spending our vacation days fighting this fight?
Right. I don't want to meet someone who doesn't want to meet me.
Like, what's that person going to do all weekend?
In fairness, again, the parents said, sure, bring them.
Yeah.
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 They did want to meet him. You know, maybe they weren't going to roll out the rainbow carpet, Brian, or the rainbow tutu on the, put the cat in a rainbow tutu.
I was like so mad Muskrat when I came out to my parents and those Muskrat tutus Nation. Weren't at the ready.
I'm talking about the cat on Muskrat Nation, the Instagram
account.
Oh, the
cat you love. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Rana loves Catstagrams. She just can't get enough.
I think we've got some fan who's got a very famous cat Instagram account, and they put the cat in a rainbow tutu, but he hadn't come out to his father. He was worried his father
The Greek family.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly.
The father had no idea. Okay. Oh, here we go. Here we go. Another repeat customer. What is this?
I don't know.
It's all the same person.
Preface. I am a repeat customer. I wrote in about my personal style drought about 2 years ago and won a Lancer skincare kit. It was the gift that kept giving because I finally shook my lifelong Cetaphil habit and have since explored many superior products.
Look at that.
I'll just say I'm never going to say a bad word about Cetaphil if it's working for you. So, dear Rana and Brian, I am an awkward, and Richard, of course. Please.
Hello.
Please, include our guests when you write to us.
Yeah.
I am in an awkward money situation with a group of friends. Oh, I think it's good that we're answering this now because we're already all juiced up about group dynamics and how people are supposed to treat each other.
And now we get to talk about cold, hard cash.
A dear friend, let's call a friend A, has recently experienced some major life milestones. And with the pandemic coming to an end in our part of the world, I suggested to our group of five friends from college that we all visit her in her city. We haven't all been together in several years. This is feeling like Australia.
Oh, I can't answer this then.
Please keep that in mind when you answer this question. Okay. After we agreed on a vacation rental that was at the top of my budget, but checked all the boxes, put a pin in that, excuse me.
Right.
You agreed to it.
Yep.
Top of your budget, you agreed to it.
It made the cut.
I made the booking on Micro. This is like those shows where they're trying to decide which house to buy.
House hunters.
I made the booking on my credit card. One friend B, texted me outside of the group chat and asked to pay her share, okay? She mentioned that it would be split four ways, not five, implying friend A would not be chipping in. I had already confirmed with friend A that she wants to spend the weekend in the rental with us, so I accounted for that in my budgeting. I reminded friend B of this and said that I would still like to do something special for friend A, but was expecting it to be more along the lines of a nice dinner. Her response was a shrug emoji. The difference between splitting the bill 4 and 5 ways is $200. This amount is out of proportion to gifts I give friends. I don't know how the others feel. The other friends did their math either. The extra $200 may be devastating to someone else's bank account. Again, I think these are Australian dollars we're talking about. I am thinking about this two ways. If I were to throw a party for a friend, I wouldn't think of asking her to contribute financially. On the other hand, when friend A was a bridesmaid at my wedding, she said, "Hey, after buying a dress and a plane ticket, I won't be able to buy you a present." And I really appreciated her frankness. Friends don't let friends stress about money, right? Well, you don't need any help, dear. This is all you stress about. This is your thing. How do I resolve this confusion? Text everyone at once? Ask each person individually and default to the majority? I just want to get through this so I can go back to looking forward to my first vacation in 7 years. Much love, friend C.
This is a person, I'm going to say young also, is my guess, only because vacations are everything to a young person. You scrimp and save and you just want to blow it out of the water.
And also five people wouldn't be able to all get together like this if they were in their late 30s. So, you know, they all have other obligations. Sure.
Richard, so the plan was made and the place was found at the top of the writer's budget. And then after the fact, friend B said, "Oh, by the way, we're paying for friend A because we're celebrating their accomplishments." Is that how it happened?
I believe that's right.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, then
but
I just
it's $200 a person.
So that means so, and that's
$800 extra.
Right. So now they're paying four people are paying $1,000.
The gift is $800.
Right. I mean,
whereas if they all took her out to dinner, it might be $50 each.
Right. No, I think $200 to give someone a gift as like congratulations on your career or whatever. I mean, if you're rich, great, go for it. But like, that's a little excessive.
It's a lot of money.
Because then that puts that person in the position of like, oh shit, now I have to do it. And then that never ends, by the way. Like, you just get stuck in that. So I feel like, I mean, I don't know when this person wrote, but like, can't you just find a different place? Like, it checks all the boxes, sure, but like there's actually one big box that's not checked, which is that you can't afford it given the current scheme of the whole trip, right? Like,
well, the other issue is that friend B decided they were all going to pay for friend A,
right?
But friend A, no one knows what friend A thinks. Well, she said that she asked friend A, and friend A said, "Yeah, I'm going to stay at the rental that weekend." So she thought, oh, okay, so we're all going to be at the Airbnb. Here's how much it's going
to
be.
Well, then tell
for
friend
everybody.
B to pay for the whole goddamn thing then. If like if they're the one offering, like saying, oh, we should have it be that friend A doesn't pay for any of it. Well, if that's your idea, then it kind of feels like don't offer other people's money, you know, or don't bully them into like going over their budget.
I think that it's very difficult to argue with the position of someone saying, I can't afford that. Like, that's pretty bulletproof of I can't afford to do that. However, I do blame the letter writer a little for not being clear about, because friend A might think like, oh, I'll just stay at this house they're renting. Like, that'll be fun, you know? And maybe when she finds out she's going to pay, she's like, oh, no, I'll just stay at my house. You know what I mean? Like, who knows?
But also,
the rules should have been
this,
set here.
But also, what is this rigidity around where people sleep? And what I mean by that is, if you're all... We've had these kind of things before where people rent a house in Palm Springs and then someone brings a friend. And that's not cool. That person needs to contribute to the thing.
Totally.
This person lives in Brooklyn, Los Angeles.
Sydney.
Marblehead. Sydney. Wherever this is. And so then the friends are coming. And that's sort of the thing, like your friend comes to town, stays in a hotel room, and you say, oh, I'm going to crash with you. You wouldn't say, so you're going to split it with me if you crash with me in my hotel room. Correct?
I think you're right, even though I'd be resentful as hell about it, but yeah.
Well, no, if you invited them to crash with you, would you expect them to split
with you? Oh, if you invited them. No, I wouldn't.
So I think what Richard is saying is correct. If we're going to split it four ways, here's how much I can afford. I have put aside $400, whatever it is, for the weekend, $200, $75. I have no idea how much this Airbnb is. That's what I can afford. So if so-and-so isn't going to contribute, then we have to find a less expensive house. If they are going to contribute, great, we can all stay there. But, and if that's the case, then I'd love to do a nice dinner one night or something like that. Mm-hmm. But really, this is more than I've put aside for the trip.
But it's weird to me to make a budget and make something the top of your budget when you don't know how many people are splitting it.
Like every time I usually book the Airbnb for friends if we're going upstate or something. And I'll always send like three options and then be like broken down five ways. This is the cost per person.
Right.
You know, that just seems like I also think it's interesting. We don't really know anything about C and D friends. We haven't heard that.
Do we address that? Because no one has talked to the group. It's only these two having this conversation. And obviously B said to A, you shouldn't pay for this. I'll handle it. And so C, who organized the whole thing and booked the Airbnb, is now in the position of looking cheap, basically, if she either says, I need the money, or I'm changing the house. That's how she feels. She feels exposed.
Right.
But what about
the other two? Yeah. Like, I just feel like if you send an email, I mean, maybe it's too late now, but like if you send an email out saying, hey, there's been, no, and you keep friend A out of the email.
Right.
There's been some talk about maybe we go in and buy the, you know, basically pay for Susie to come this weekend to celebrate her accomplishments. Given that this place that we've been looking at doesn't really, it's maybe a little too costly for four people to split. So here are some other options. Like, I feel like that's a very, like, you're honoring friend B's kind of generosity, but then you're bringing it down to a more manageable scale for you and potentially the other two people. Like, you might have to bite the bullet and like spend a little extra just to, you know, give this gift to the friend.
I think
if you want
yeah, totally. And if you can't get out of the Airbnb, I think that's your plan A. And I think if you can't get out of the Airbnb, if you look at the cancellation policy or whatever, you could just say like, I think when I had picked this place, I didn't anticipate this happening. I can't really afford that. I would like to do something nice for her, but just let me know if everyone's cool with me asking friend A to contribute, I guess. What do you think, Ron?
Or invite two more people.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah.
Spread the cost.
There you go.
That's a fun idea. I really hate when someone does something nice and someone else changes it. I really don't like that.
Yeah.
I really don't like what B is up to here because this is what B does.
Yeah, it's like a thing on a thing and all of a sudden there's too much topping on this. Yes.
Sure, you did the legwork of booking it, but I came up with the great idea. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, A said, did A say we should all celebrate her milestones?
I think the letter writer said that, right?
Yes.
He suggested.
I mean, yes. I suggested to our group of five friends from college that we all visit her in her city.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So she planned the trip and said, she gave us a name, didn't she? I can't remember.
No, she signed it Friend C, which was a huge
mistake. Oh, okay. So I don't know why I thought this was a she. I apologize if it isn't. B took ownership of C's idea.
Yeah.
And that I really don't like. And that's why it's also okay, in addition to the fact that you can't afford it, it's also okay for you to push back a little bit here. Say, this isn't really what I, you know, you can't just walk in and say, dinner's on us.
Right.
When you haven't discussed it with everybody. And I don't like that E and F are not involved in this conversation because then that becomes B's talking to E and F, mm-hmm. C's talking to E and F. Everything's getting triangulated. And by the way, it's college all over again. And all of these tensions are coming into the trip, which is so, I love Richard's idea of an email to the group and just say, hey guys, you know, when I initially proposed the trip, everything Richard just said, this is what I was thinking. I thought since we were all going to be in the house, we were all going to be splitting it. If you want to give this to her as a gift, that's really nice, but it changes my budget. So blah, blah, blah.
We might have to find a different place.
But I don't really understand why there's a gift on top of the trip. I don't really, whatever these milestones are, maybe she became a doctor. Maybe she's getting engaged. Maybe she's finished grad school. It feels to me something like that, grad school, or I don't know what.
That's good. So now we now that we're in a bridesmaid situation, where now we have to do a trip when you graduate. You know, oh, we didn't do one for me. When I, by the way, no one's doing for you. This is going to be like the people who had the COVID birthday parties, did all the birthday parties, and then nobody planned their birthday party. That's who you are. I just want you to know that. So look forward to getting no one to come visit you when you graduate from medical school or whatever happens to you. But the trip is the gift. Your company, your presence is the present, as they say. Someone came out of the way to come see me. Guess what I would do? I'd take them to dinner.
Right.
Right.
That to me is when someone goes out of their way to come see me, I can't wait to pay for everything the whole weekend. Because I can't believe how flattered I am that that person came to see me. I want them to feel welcome and I want to celebrate them for that wonderful gesture that just said, I love you so much. I got on a plane and wore a KN95 for 8 hours. Or
which I do every week, Ron. I need to remind you.
Which is why I pay for your beefsteak tomatoes.
Thank you.
There's also something to consider that if friend A, who is the one being honored and being visited, were to find out about all this, they would be like mortified.
Yes, but we've got secrets now and we need to bust open this dynamic. And the email is the way to do it.
Clear it up. With not with A, and then proceed from there. And in the future,
be prepared for B to give you the cold shoulder, because that's going to happen. B tried to take ownership, and then you took it back, or you changed the game.
And now
on
you've
B.
humiliated her.
B is not going to like it. There's trouble coming for B with B. Just want you to know it. One more.
Don't mess with my monies.
Spoken like a true Gilded Ager.
But also, there's a lot of focus from this person on their boundaries around money. And you've got to find a way, unless you don't want to participate in group activities, you have to find a way to be a little bit more, you either need to be clearer or you need to be more easy come, easy go a little bit about, I didn't have the fries. When people go to
Don't be that.
There's a balance there. There's a happy medium.
A little bit of, I'm getting a little bit of, I didn't have the fries energy here.
Right. Yeah. You had two glasses of wine. I had water sort of thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And that is not a way to go through life, because all you can do the whole meal is think about, are they going to charge me for the fries? Are they going to charge me for the fries? Are they going to charge me for the fries? And then you miss the dinner.
Yeah.
And then people stop.
Which
inviting.
Is what she says at the end of, or he says, or they say at the end of their letter, which is, you know, how do I resolve this so I can go back to being excited about it? And ask yourself why, if you haven't taken a vacation in 7 years, this is the way you decided to do it. Mm-hmm. That's another little moment you have to have with yourself.
Oh, sure.
This is not unlike the letter we just had before, which is, do you want to go to Galveston? Is that what is that how you want to spend the money that you were using for, you know, and maybe it is. She sounds like she loves these friends, et cetera, but think about how you spend your money, how you spend your time and what you really want it to be, and then make it the way you want it to be instead of hoping it'll turn out that way.
Yeah.
Our last question's pretty sweet and pretty short, short and
thank
sweet.
Thank goodness. Yeah.
Dear Ronna, Brian, and guest Richard Lawson of Vanity Fair, thank you for your incredible podcast. It's an absolute delight to listen to twice per week, a lift to drink Asgrana coffee, and a treat to indulge in Negronas.
Okay, you've got me. I'm listening.
I'm hooked. My dear friend Christopher is marrying his fiancée, Timothy. You gotta love the gays doing a full name. No Chris's and Tim's here.
No,
not
there's
happening.
No Chris and Tim.
No Timothy. Way, Jose.
They have track lighting.
Yeah. They were Chris and Tim for 18 years. Yep. No longer.
This is the waterfall. The people with the waterfall counter.
Totally.
Yeah.
My dear friend Christopher is marrying his fiance Timothy this fall, and I'm lucky enough to be included in the wedding party. Thinking ahead the day of, what would be something special that I could plan that is either for or includes the grooms while the ladies in the wedding party are having hair and makeup done? Thank you in advance for your help. Best, Elise. That sounds fun.
Oh.
At first, I thought she was going to ask for a wedding gift, and I was going to say just, you know, fruit-themed jewelry for the grooms.
Oh,
you
fruit. Know?
Like a Carmen Miranda hat. Or
exactly, like a fruit hat or like, you know.
A fruit cufflinks.
Exactly. Some fake, you know, blueberry necklace or, you know, just something very.
Watermelon cufflinks.
Yeah. Right, exactly. Yeah. Tropical, you know, tropical.
Grape earrings.
Exactly.
A grape grass skirt. A grape tie chain or something. Yeah.
Pineapple spats.
Yeah. seashells with strawberries on them for a bikini top. You know what I mean? Just stuff like that.
Well, that wasn't the question.
No, unfortunately, fruit-themed jewelry in this instance for two gay people marrying is not.
So what do you do for the fruits? Well, the friend of the fruits getting great the question. Makeup and hair done.
That's honey. A pretty limited amount of time. I mean, it's a few hours, right?
Yeah.
Excuse me, massage. Excuse me,
yeah.
Facial.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Excuse
but not
me.
The kind, not like the spa kind of facial.
No extractions.
Oh, no. Oh,
just
yeah.
A and hydrated no bukkake. Facial.
Right.
Just
exactly. Yeah. And no
bukkake. Oh, I.
It depends on the masseuse, really, that you're hiring.
Yeah. Well, that's sure. Yeah.
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 No, you know, excuse me. What's another gift? Foam party. Just the two of them, though.
Right, pass around party bottom for the crew.
Exactly, Vengabus. Yeah. I think give them like, you know, we don't want to do extractions, but give them a little spa experience. And by the way, with things like facials and massages now, they can come directly to you. So while you guys are, or you gals are getting ready with your hair and makeup, they could have a little like nice, who doesn't want glowing skin on their wedding day, male or female?
It's also their day. Okay, go on, Richard. Yeah.
I don't know how fastidious Christopher and Timothy are. I'm guessing by the full names that they are pretty well-kept.
I think you do.
I think that's a good
But in case
assumption.
Maybe there are other people in that side of the party, like, you know, when you get like a nice haircut and the barber or whoever is like, oh, do you want me to trim your eye? I mean, I have this problem because I have very bushy eyebrows.
I do
that's
too,
such
yeah.
a nice little thing. So they someone on hand grooming. To do a little bit of grooming, a little beard, a little eyebrow, a little bit around the ears, you know, that it's not as full service as
scalp
the women who
massage,
are getting
maybe. Updos,
but yeah, like nice things that makes them when they walk out, it makes them feel like they are looking their best.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like this.
I'm adding something to it.
Yeah. Double-ended dildo while they're getting the scalp massage? No. Okay.
You know, Richard.
You're the one who said something about a hot, salty load, Rana. So let's call a spade a spade.
Well, first of all, that wasn't this episode.
That's true. Okay. Sorry. You're right.
Second of all, you know, I talk about the high-low and how, I love high-low and da-da-da-da. And then there's just the lower than the low, you know?
Right.
In any event.
Are you talking about me?
What? Yeah. Oh. Talking about you acting like an absolute bottom feeder right now. By
more
the way,
Marriott Courtyard than Marquee.
You're right.
Exactly.
I gotta
say
higher.
This funny thing. Dr. Eliza was in the Bahamas for spring break.
Fun.
You know, doc, single mother, very sad.
She's the one without a husband. Yeah.
Yeah. No husband, two kids.
Right. So not sad. Great. So sad.
In any event, she went, you know, they have the pigs that swim to the beach, which people think is marvelous for some reason.
Oh, and I think it's disgusting.
Pig beach, disgusting. Everyone touches them. I don't know what's going on there.
Me neither. I don't need to see a pig swim past my face.
She also told everybody that she swam with sharks. So then she posted the picture swimming with sharks. And I said, those are nurse sharks. It's not sharks.
Right.
She said, it's still a shark. I said, it doesn't have teeth. It's a nurse shark.
Right.
Who cares?
It's like swimming with a really old lady.
You want to get into it's not a hammerhead.
No, it's just someone who doesn't have their dentures in.
Did you know that there is a big outdoor barbecue place in Brooklyn called Pig Beach? Why would anyone ever want to eat at some place called
so
Pig Beach?
So disgusting.
But has anyone ever eaten there? Was it delicious?
I actually have eaten there.
You have? Did you see any of a number?
I was dragged there for an event.
Did you see any of a number of my ex-husbands there?
Pig Although they Beach? Were all washed up, honey.
All the pigs? I believe it.
Okay, here's my idea. I love the idea of the groomer. Because I also think that is unisex or whatever you want to call it. Not unisex, but meaning if his Timothy's straight brother's there or whoever.
Yeah.
That any man, I always say the only thing a man has is his haircut.
Yeah. Perm.
So any man can benefit from
a perm.
A terrific barber coming in, cleaning everybody up and putting a little something in their hair. And all the men in the wedding party will look terrific.
Should be permed.
Yeah.
I agree.
There will undoubtedly be men like Timothy and Rimothy or whatever the other one's name is.
Timothy and Rimothy. I love the name Rimothy.
Just get someone to give Timothy an old Rimothy.
A Rimothy. That's right.
That's what he calls Timothy.
Just hire someone to do some Rimothys on that Timothy.
It's a job.
That's
you know?
Timothy's nickname is Rimothy. Anyway.
Absolutely. Is he the giver or the receiver of the Rimothys? Who knows? He's great at both.
That's what it says on the inside of the wedding bands engraved.
Anyway, Timothy and Rimothy probably have their own ideas.
I love it.
About how they want the hair and the nails and etc.
Right.
By the way, another idea is you could get someone to give them manicures. A buff shine. Wonderful. Totally. But a grooming experience. But I would also, excuse me, also, as they say,
Ron, all of a sudden you're in New York.
As they say in New York. Also, I would order a couple of bucket of champagne.
Yeah.
And I would get several of those masks, like an eye mask.
Oh, I love those. Yeah.
And I would chill them. I'd have them put them in the refrigerator. And they can have a glass of champagne. They can do an eye mask.
Yeah.
And depuff their face a little bit, which will undoubtedly be a little puffy after the rehearsal dinner the night before. And that is another little layer I would add to the experience while they're getting either their manicures or their rimothies.
Totally.
Yeah. And I another think that's thing perfectly you could do nice. Is
you could hire like, you know, a fun friend or something to like
give them a rimothy.
Sure. But you could like, you could have the friend put on like a funky wig, like a funny wig.
Oh, a clown. That's like so fun. Or like a singing telegram or balloon animals. Of course. But we all watch Love is Blind. Love is Blind season 2. Get a balloon animal maker to come. What?
And it helps if your future mother-in-law happens to be a balloon animal maker.
Happens to be a balloon impresario.
That would be so nice. I would do that. And then, by the way, and you know what? You know what else is fun?
We've got to wrap this up.
Fine. You play a little round of you know, bingo or something.
Sexy right. bingo.
Sexy That's bingo. Enough. Sexy bingo.
Anyway, if you get, make it a nice experience for them.
Just get but a twister also, mat and let it go out.
Yeah, you could also go Mad Men then. Whatever their drink is, get them a scotch. Or cute. You can get them a bartender for, you know, something that just elevates whatever that experience
or bring,
is
or
them
find
anyway.
What their hall passes are and just bring them in there and get it done now. You know,
foot massage, get them all matching cute socks, something
or
like
matching
that.
Fruit anklets.
But I would
we'll
just
go
say
back to the fruit pendants.
Be cautious about the liquor. I know someone who got so drunk preparing for their wedding that they blacked out during their $250,000 wedding and don't remember a single moment of it. So be careful about that.
That's a person that was probably going to do that anyway. But and, I do think you're right. Yeah. Don't start serving them too early or the day ends early.
Yeah.
Would it shock you they got divorced 2 years later? No.
Get them an edible. Get them an edible arrangement.
Can we agree that the more expensive your wedding is, the less likely your odds of staying together are? Because you really just did it for that day, you know? Yeah.
How much was your wedding to Derek?
Well, by how much? Do you want me to give you a rate? It was between $0 and $150 million.
So you were supposed to split it five ways, but then at the last minute.
That's absolutely right. I got all my exes together and I say, hey, pigs at Pig Beach. I know who you are. I see you. You're nothing but pigs. Get your hooves off my face.
You you blew the conch shell and they all came scuttering all the pigs
in my life. I apologize. I apologize. I shouldn't have brought up Derek again. I apologize. It's not nice.
But now you brought him up again, Rona.
I know, but I wanted to apologize.
And I'll tell you this. This is how much. You know what? Our wedding was priceless. How about that?
There you go.
That's it. She paid for it on Visa.
Rona,
Visa is priceless.
MasterCard is
no Crepe Erase. Crepe Erase.
Which one is priceless? One of the credit cards.
MasterCard. Because it was Billy Crudup would do the thing.
Right. Oh, okay.
I wonder how much money he made for that.
In any event, we've got to get to our giveaway.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So who have we got here?
So, Richard, are we giving it to Fruits in a Room?
Right.
Are we giving it to, what am I going to do? Because I can't
fruits
go back in the closet.
The beach.
Fruits on the Beach. Are we giving it to Fruits on the Beach? Are we giving it to, we're not giving it to Aliza, the doctor. Are we giving it to Got to Go Back in the Closet and Get to Galveston? Or are we giving it to Money, 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 Airbnb?
And I don't know what you guys are going to give them yet, right? Because that would compromise.
How are we doing it these days, Ron?
Together.
That's right. Okay. That's how it's
That's
going.
What we've been doing now. It used to be we knew what the gift was. Now we try to tailor it to the winner.
Correct.
I feel like I'm almost thinking that the anxious Airbnb person could use a little calming something. But I think... I don't know, principle would suggest to me that the first writer who is dealing with some actually serious family issues probably could most benefit from something.
The problem with giving the second one, the writer, something is that they're going to just think about how much money we spent on it. And they're going to wonder why we didn't just send them $50. That's right.
I was going to say they want cash.
They're going to try to sell it.
That person is going to be obsessed with the fact that why this is really nice, but why didn't they just give me $50 Visa gift card so that I could put it towards the Airbnb.
Yeah.
You have to figure out your issues around money. It's very hard. It's a lifelong struggle. Everybody has different ideas about money and it stinks and you bump up against it, but that's a reason to not take a group trip and split anything.
And I would say, and I think you all would agree, you need to start playing the lottery. Seriously.
Oh, yeah. For sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we could send them some scratch tickets.
Can you send those in the mail? I feel like that's illegal.
Why would it be?
Well, because
it depends on where they're from.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. We don't know what state they're in.
Right. I don't know whether they're in Queensland or they're in, where they are.
Exactly. I would always bring a few scratch tickets if I was meeting a friend at a bar for their birthday, which is kind of like a simple bar party. Always bring a few scratch tickets. Cheap, great, fun gift.
That's a wonderful gift.
Mr. Cleveland, that's his gift. He gives people however many scratch tickets their age is.
There you go. So you got 25 last year?
I mean, his friends are old, so it's getting expensive.
No. Rana got like 67 or higher.
Oh, he
I'm
doesn't
not exactly
get that
sure.
for me. What's he crazy? What Don't come he here twice.
Right.
Unless I win. Unless one of them is a plant and I want to, want a fur coat or something. At the
Or he hands you a diamond to scratch the things with.
Yes, exactly.
There
Good
you
point,
go.
Richard. Good point. So, okay. So the winner is Galveston?
Well, it's either Galveston money or the lady who wants to do something nice for her gay grooms, but I don't think it's going to be her. We got to decide if it's money.
What are we giving?
Well, Richard's
them?
Vote. We okay, we have one vote in.
Yeah, I vote Galveston.
Richard's vote is Galveston.
Brian.
Rana, I know. I'm having a tough time with this one.
I have more. It's true. I have more sympathy for some reason for the person who's struggling with their friends.
Me too, because it sucks.
But Galveston.
I'm going to go Galveston just because I'm,
Yeah, Texas, the Texas connection.
And Texas and loyalty to my tribe,
Yeah.
He's gay.
Okay, what are we going to get him?
Ron is not happy. We can get him.
Well, this is what I mean about the quality of the lettuce.
You're right. It actually goes
back
to that.
No one is truly desperate who wrote into us today.
You're right.
Yeah.
Well, we should give him travel
guy. A shoulder shaker?
Or
like
something.
A shoulder
exactly.
shaker?
Exactly. We should get him a brochure to Hawaii.
Could we send him something, or could you rather send him something that is expressly said, give this to your boyfriend? Because maybe they need it the most.
Gifts are not transferable.
They're not transferable.
But
we could if
send
the boyfriend
them something
happens to
enjoy
it
together.
That's true. I mean,
here's what he needs. It's something that every time his sister calls or he gets an email for his sister, he doesn't blow his stack. That is what he needs.
Yeah.
Because the sister is triggering him. And the sister is just the sister. So he needs some sort of something which gives him a moment before he responds or before he decides what she's thinking or what this person's thinking or what that person. He needs something that gives him pause for a moment. So that
what
he
if
gathers
we gave
himself
him-
and says, how much of this is what's happening and how much of this is how I feel about it?
What about a bottle of Negroni?
I know, but then we're going to find out he doesn't drink. Okay, we're going to send him the Negroni, but if he does not drink, we're going to send him a Palo Santo candles. We're going to send him.
Perfect. And you don't even know the secret that I know that I can reveal.
What? Are you texting him right now?
No, but I'm going to show you something because I got an absolutely terrific text message that I wanted to read to you. These guys I met the one time I went to Fire Island years ago, they are DC gays, Rana. They were the ones who one of them wrote the guidance on how kids should be treated in schools when Windows was the Secretary of Education, DeVos. These are wonderful guys, and they are real movers and shakers. Excuse me, he said, our best friends just said they're obsessed with your podcast, and we're like, we know him. And then he showed me a picture of them playing polka. So this is them playing polka, okay?
I can't exactly say. Okay.
Okay. Now, if you zoom in, You're going to love what you see, because guess what's on that polka table?
A Negroni on the table.
With four glasses, Rana.
Wait a minute. That's fabulous. But how also there in Fire Island, and who happens to be in Fire Island for the season? Excuse me.
Who?
Robin Lloyd and Dickie.
They're in Fire
Robin
Island?
Robin Lloyd and Dickie Greenleaf have taken over, are taking Fire Island by storm this summer.
I'll tell you this. I'm a Provincetown.
Yeah, I go to the film festival in Provincetown every year in June.
Fire Island's beautiful. Don't get me wrong, but I'm more of a Provincetown.
Yeah.
So, Richard, then, you want to give those suggestions, the Provincetown suggestions that the guy asked for really quickly?
But I love
I mean, this I feel like I always get like led around and I don't know the names of places, but like I it sounds corny. I really enjoy the tea dance. I think it's fun. If you're,
yeah,
if
why
you're
not
there for like the height of like the season, it's a beautiful, looking at the water. It feels very lively. It's all ages. It's all, you know, body types, everything like that. It's so much more welcoming, I find, than.
But you
than,
can't really go wrong in Provincetown.
Well, you know what I love to do is just walk and like you walk toward the beach and then you do that kind of over the marsh trek to get to the gay beach. And there's so many beautiful houses to look at. All the blue hydrangeas are out. It's just, yeah, it's a marvelous place.
But you can wander into anything that feels good to you.
Yeah, fully.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'll know when you're there.
But now,
when were you last in Provincetown, Brian?
Oh, a million years ago. I've been in years. I went one time years ago and I want to go
when
back.
When are we going to do a show there?
That's what I want
to
know.
We're supposed to do a resident. We were supposed to do a COVID residency.
I think you should come out for the film festival in mid-June. So it's not quite swinging yet, but it is lively.
Okay. And well, that's very soon. Can you arrange
Dave
it?
Dave Holmes and Matt McConkey did their podcast out there for the film festival.
Oh, did
once.
They really? Hemophilia?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, excuse me. We need to get on the horn.
I don't know what to say.
I agree.
Mean, I don't know. Maybe Richard knows the organizers. He can connect.
Now, Rana, if I go to the Venice Film Festival this year, which is looking like I might, I'll see you on the roof of the Hotel Danielli, right?
Yeah. You know, I think I'm going to stay at the Aman.
She's not
going to
stay
year,
there,
though.
She's
oh,
not
the Aman
stay.
Is nice.
The
yeah.
Aman only has 10 rooms, Rana. I don't think you're going to be able to get in.
What kind of a comment is that?
No, I'm just saying they only have 10 rooms. I've tried to stay there before.
What makes you think I can't get into the Aman if I want to?
Well, I can't get into the Aman, Rana.
Yeah, well, what makes you think I can't get into the Aman if I
want to? I'll let you into the Aman.
I have to say, last year, you didn't go to Venice last year, or you did?
No, I went to Telluride because, I don't know, for various work
Venice
reasons, but...
was back last year.
Yeah. You were there?
Yeah.
I mean, that was, those parties were incredible. They really brought the glamour back. I mean, the Dolce & Gabbana boys, we have, you know, we're on the fence about them. They're real Italians. You know, they do what's
best
for them.
Right, they have some wacko beliefs.
Yes,
yeah.
They do what's best for them. But they dressed everyone beautifully. The glamour was back. They had a party. I think Celine had a party. I mean, it was top
The fashion
notch.
Brands are out at Venice in a way that... They're even, I mean, the Cannes has that aspect, but like Venice really.
But Cannes is so sprawling and Venice can only be so big. So,
well, I'll
and
go.
It's such,
yeah. Well, all, so Richard, so let's we'll all go. We'll all go. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I need to, I would love to meet Celine and I would love to meet Dolce & Gabbana. You know
Richard,
what I mean?
If
I'd
we
like,
do a party, if we do a night at Cafe Carlisle, are you going to come if we do a one night only?
Of course. Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right, with, fabulous.
Will you come up and you and I can tell a joke together? Remember how they have like people just randomly in the audience, like Michelle Lee, just come up and say a quick something?
Oh, yeah. Right. Like kind of, we'll do a laughing style sort of.
Exactly.
Gentlemen in the velvet blazer, that sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, listen to me. This has been absolutely a pleasure. I'm not going to insult you, Richard, by asking you what films you're excited about that are coming up. Because
don't
I know you're not here in your capacity.
I actually do have one like recommendation that I want to make because it's a tiny film that's not really getting a good amount of press. It's a film from a queer Australian director who has Macedonian roots. It's a film kind of about a witch in rural Macedonia in the 1800s. It's called You Won't Be Alone. It is absolutely beautiful.
I have not read your review because I don't want to have any spoilers, but I know that you said it was the best movie of the year so far.
It's really, it's a little bit gory at parts, but it's not really a horror movie.
Can't wait. How does it connect to Honeyland?
It has the same vibe of like, is this existing at the end of time or the beginning of time? It's just so remote and beautiful to look at.
Tell me again what it's called.
You Won't Be Alone.
I can't
it's
wait.
Opening
that
wide.
Sounds like my kind of movie. I can't wait.
It's really beautiful.
I'm excited.
So,
all right, dear. We absolutely love you.
Love.
Thank you for being here.
Relaws. Relaws.
This was a genuine honor, and thank you for indulging my many late night request.
We're going to continue to bother you for all of our film needs.
Please do. Yeah.
And we have to tell. We have to do the cliffhanger now. Do you want to hear it? Or do you want to leave? You can leave.
Absolutely,
if you want
to hear it. Yeah.
Oh my God! Imagine that.
I only ask the dieheads if they want to hear it.
It's true. Richard's one of the inner circle.
I don't waste my time with the people who, you know, I can't spend. Who, like, I don't want to spend that much time with them. Don't tell them.
We got to know you. We got to know
you. That's the truth.
Takes one to know one.
I don't want to do it. Okay.
I'm excited for our Venice trip. And to get two rooms at the Amon Ron is going to be no easy thing.
Now we're splitting it three ways, guys.
That's right. That's right.
We're splitting it. We're taking Brian to celebrate one of his milestones.
Thank you. Yeah, and I'm not paying for anything.
Okay, so the cliffhanger. Are you reading this, Brian? I guess I am.
No, I think you are, Rana. Sucks for you.
To my beloved Rana and Brian and fabulous guest, if applicable.
I mean, that's understating it.
That's Richard for sure. I'm struggling. My relationship of 6 years seems to be ending. I'm a 34-year-old gay man. My partner is the same. We live in NYC. He is my first and only relationship. We have been engaged since 2018, and I think he only proposed because he knew I wanted that. He has had no interest in a wedding since then. To his credit, it was a perfect proposal. During COVID, I was unemployed as my job, which I hated, shut down, and he, miserable in his job, quit to start his own business. I provided help financially via my unemployment benefits and practically by managing operations, time-consuming tasks, etc., and effectively became both the director of operations and an unacknowledged investor. This business was his dream. It is his full-time passion and priority. What was the thing Brian wrote? Someone wrote to us, Brian. It was an absolutely wacko. Making their own perfumes. Remember that?
Yes, I do.
I wonder if this is that person. But anyway, this business was his dream. It is his full-time passion and priority. And I have been, remember they wanted to talk about this sense. It was a friend outside of the group.
But the
scent. And the group said all the smells smelled.
Right.
But they didn't smell good. Yeah.
Right.
This business was his dream. It is his full-time passion and priority. And I have been quietly suffering. Oh. I believe Rana once said, and it stuck with me, how hard it is to feel lonely while in a relationship, of course. Mm. As well as we have done, the business only makes enough money to support itself, not our household or debts. So when unemployment benefits ended, I went back to work. I've been making very little money, but in fields that are more aligned with the creative career I'd like to someday pursue. He has been consistently disappointed in my attention toward him and my ability to support the business. We have had several tough conversations on this topic, mostly resulting in my promise to be better / do more. What if this was the guy that, remember the manic guy that wanted to do the Christmas movie in 15 parts?
Oh God, I have like PTSD from that guy.
He made his partner star in the movie. Remember?
Yeah.
But I've reached, and the movie was 10 hours long. Remember that?
Yes, it was like 3.5 hours for real.
But I've reached a breaking point. He became very upset with me for not noticing that he is, quote, drowning, that I should be more proactive. This happened in the middle of my therapy session on my day off. I'm never really off having my paying job plus helping him. And with an argument that I basically wasn't making enough money at my other jobs to justify the distractions from him and the business. I also have been drowning. So we clearly just aren't seeing each other or have enough bandwidth to help each other. Mm. I have been staying at a friend's apartment. I was very angry and now I'm feeling sad and guilty. I worry about his mental health. I worry I am confirming or repeating a cycle from his past that everyone disappoints or fails or abandons him. I have an insurmountable amount of credit card and loan debt, which of course I incurred to keep us afloat, expecting the business to take off. I'm now months behind on all of these. One of our only communications since I left was his anger that I'm not paying one of these cards, that my not paying one of these cards is affecting his credit score. He is the one who asked me to turn off auto payments. And I know that fundamentally, he is the reason we don't have the money to pay them now. Admittedly, I should have pushed back. I should have reminded him that these are going overdue. I've failed at every responsibility he has given me. Oh, that's a very sad line for some reason. I can't imagine that that's true. But there's so much rock. Put a yellow highlight
honest
on that sentence.
Honest to God on a few of these.
Ugh. I love him so much, but all my friends have confirmed that what I was managing was impossible in the long term and borderline emotional abuse. I'm in therapy. He will not do therapy.
Yep. Tick, tick, boom.
I've been back and forth with myself trying to figure out, even if he wanted to fix things, which it doesn't seem like he does, do I? How do you know when it's time to end a relationship? How do you find the strength to keep going when it would be so easy to try to apologize and to try to take it all back and go back to normal? He is all I have, and I'm frankly very scared to have to start my whole life over. I don't know what to do or where to start. This is killing me. Thank you for the years of laughs and wisdom. You all have gotten me through tough times. I need you now more than ever. All my love, a proud CHIP.
I do want to say this. Sometimes, Richard, we'll get someone who writes to us before we answer the question. If you are that person, which maybe I think in our scheduling, that might not be happening. But I do want to know, and it's not crucial to my answer, but what is the business? Just generally, what is
right.
the business?
We won't I'm say dying it on the thing if you don't want us to, but we just
right.
need to know.
I'm just dying to know. Okay.
It was cookies. Quibi. It was an old letter.
It was Quibi.
I think it's cookies.
Jeffrey Katzenberg.
Yeah. It was Meg Whitman.
There you go.
It's cookies.
It's cookies.
That's my question. That's what I think.
Or candles.
Yeah. I will say this. I was complaining at the beginning of the show that people should only write to us when they have something important or in crisis. And this person is in that situation.
That's right.
Yeah. I will eagerly listen to that answer. That's a significant, serious question.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Okay. Richard, so patreon.com/askRana. That's
definitely
where we'll answer the question. This episode's 3 hours long because, Richard, we could spend the rest of our lives with you at Pig Beach.
We really could.
Yeah, I'll see you. That's what they're renaming the Lido in Venice, Pig Beach. So
Pig Beach is wonderful.
Yeah, I wonder.
I'll see you at Pig Beach.
I can't wait.
Yeah, me too.
We
Richard,
love you,
you're
Richard.
Wonderful.
Thank you for being
we adore you.
What's your Twitter, your Instagram, your this, your that? Where can people get an RSS feed of your stories
Twitter,
if people do that still?
Twitter and Instagram are both RILAWS, Rylaws, and my podcast for VF are Little Gold Men and Still Watching, and those are every week. So, you know.
I know. It's weird because neither of us have been invited to be on.
Isn't that so funny,
Bonnie?
I was just thinking the same
thing. That just, you
well,
know,
sounds like
happens.
You guys need to send me some emails at 1 a.m.
And by
that
the way, Rana.
Seems to have worked for me.
By the way, Rana, as far as I'm concerned, Ask Rana is a movie. So where's our Vanity Fair review?
Well, I don't want the review. Because then Richard feels is a real reviewer. He feels a responsibility.
Richard technically wouldn't be able to review us. That's true.
He covers it all. Yeah, no, we don't want to hear what Richard has to say. It's mostly positive. I'm just saying he can't help but point out the negatives.
Right. There are moments when Brian could. There are moments when Brian doesn't.
If you don't mind the sound of Ron's voice, this is the show for you.
I could hear the word load a few fewer times, maybe.
That's right. We would get something absolutely withering, Rana.
All right, dear. We love you.
Thank
you for being here.
Love you too. Thanks.
Kiss.